They asked where he had been, and he answered, "Out there." He hung his hammock in the room they assigned him and slept for 3 days, but he woke up after eating 16 raw eggs. He went directly to Catarino's store, where his monumental size provoked a panic of curiosity among the women. He called for music and cane liquor for everyone to be put on his bill. He would Indian wrestle with 5 men at the same time. "It can't be done," they said, convinced that they would not be able to move his arm. "He has niños en cruz." Catarino, who did not believe in magical tricks of strength, bet him 12 pesos that he could not move the counter. José Arcadio pulled it out of its place, lifted it over his head, and put it in the street. It took 11 men to put it back. In the heat of the party, he exhibited his unusual masculinity on the bar, completely covered with tattoos of words in several languages intertwined in blue and red. To the women who were besieging him and coveting him, he put the question as to who would pay the most. The one who had the most money offered him 20 pesos. Then he proposed raffling himself off among them at 10 pesos a chance. It was a fantastic price, because the most sought-after woman earned 8 pesos a night. But they all accepted. They wrote their names on 14 pieces of paper, which they put into a hat, and each woman took one out. When there were only 2 pieces left to draw, it was established to whom they belonged. 5 pesos more from each one, José Arcadio proposed, and I'll share myself with both. He made his living that way. He had been around the world 65 times, enlisted in a crew of sailors without a country. The women who went to bed with him that night in Catarino's store brought him naked into the dance salon so that people could see that there was not a square inch of his body that was not tattooed, front and back, and from his neck to his toes. He did not succeed in becoming incorporated into the family. He slept all day and spent the night in the red light district, making bets on his strength. On the rare occasions when Ursula got him to sit down at the table, he gave signs of radiant good humor, especially when he told about his adventures in remote countries. He had been shipwrecked and spent 2 weeks adrift in the Sea of Japan, feeding on the body of a comrade who had succumbed to sunstroke and whose extremely salty flesh, as it cooked in the sun, had a sweet and granular taste. Under a bright noonday sun in the Gulf of Bengal, his ship had killed a sea dragon, in the stomach of which they found the helmet, the buckles, and the weapons of a crusader. In the Caribbean, he had seen the ghost of the pirate ship of Victor Hugues, with its sails torn by the winds of death, the masts chewed by sea worms, and still looking for the course to Guadeloupe. Ursula would weep at the table as if she were reading the letters that had never arrived and in which José Arcadio told about his deeds and misadventures. "And there was so much of a home here for you, my son," she would sob, "and so much food thrown to the hogs." But underneath it all, she could not conceive that the boy the gypsies took away was the same lout who would eat half a suckling pig for lunch and whose flatulence withered the flowers. Something similar took place with the rest of the family. Amaranta could not conceal the repugnance that she felt at the table because of his bestial belching. Arcadio, who never knew the secret of their relationship, scarcely answered the questions that he asked with the obvious idea of gaining his affection. Aureliano tried to relive the times when they slept in the same room, tried to revive the complicity of childhood. But José Arcadio had forgotten about it, because life at sea had saturated his memory with too many things to remember. Only Rebecca succumbed to the first impact. The day that she saw him pass by her bedroom, she thought that Pietro Crespi was a sugary dandy next to that proto-male whose volcanic breathing could be heard all over the house. She tried to get near him under any pretext. On a certain occasion, José Arcadio looked at her body with shameless attention and said to her, "You're a woman, little sister." Rebecca lost control of herself. She went back to eating earth and the whitewash on the walls with the avidity of previous days, and she sucked her finger with so much anxiety that she developed a callus on her thumb. She vomited up a green liquid with dead leeches in it. She spent nights awake, shaking with fever, fighting against delirium, waiting until the house shook with the return of José Arcadio at dawn. One afternoon, when everyone was having a siesta, she could no longer resist and went to his bedroom. She found him in his shorts, lying in the hammock that he had hung from the beams with a ship's hawser. She was so impressed by his enormous motley nakedness that she felt an impulse to retreat. "Excuse me," she said, "I didn't know you were here." But she lowered her voice so as not to wake anyone up.